This is episode 326, dated Monday, February 12th, 2024.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. This is episode 326, dated Monday, February 12th, 2024. And before we continue with our discussions, let me introduce the panel as we know it at the moment. We start out with Peter Altschul.
Welcome from Coos Bay, Oregon, where it's a nice day here. Our next atmospheric river is supposed to hit here on Wednesday. So we are dry and sort of warmish until then.
We're bracing for a snowstorm tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
Maybe 10 inches. We'll see how it goes. Okay. Reverend Michael Garrett.
Well, welcome to a sunny 59 degrees, Missouri City, Texas, where it's windy, but we'll take it.
I believe I heard Don Wardlow enter the building. Don?
Yes, you did. You did. And we're expecting snow here too.
Yeah. Well, you're not far from me, so we'll probably share the same experience.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where Luther King is. If he arrives, I'm sure he will let us know. In the meantime, let me thank those people who make it possible for our program to be aired. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do. Tom and Lynn from Rosie's Place Chatline, thank you for what you do by posting our shows up on your bulletin boards. The media outlets for airing our show, thank you so much. We appreciate you for that. And finally, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions for archiving Sports Roundtable on my website. All you have to do is go to www.brancoevents.com, arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts. Click on that, and you will see our archives from latest to earliest.
Merci, Jackie.
And thank you, Trish, for being with us today. We appreciate it. And, of course, Brad for streaming. And because he is streaming on ACB Media 5, let me give out my email address for those people who are not aware of it. If you have any questions or comments about our show, please send us your opinions by writing to us at bobbranco93@gmail.com. bobbranco93 is all one word, @gmail.com. We had a Super Bowl last night. Those of you who weren't aware, the second Super Bowl to finish in overtime in Super Bowl history. The last Super Bowl that happened with was in 2017 when the Patriots rallied back from a huge deficit against the Falcons. So I have some thoughts about last night's Super Bowl. Somebody wanted to know what the new overtime rule was. And if somebody could try to make sense out of it for us, that would be great.
Okay. So basically each team gets the ball once. So if the first team scores a touchdown, the other team still gets the ball and gets a chance to match it. If the score is tied after both teams get the ball once, it then goes to sudden death as it used to. So that's the difference. It used to be when the Patriots and Falcons played, the Patriots scored a touchdown and the Falcons never got a chance to touch the ball. That rule has changed because of the Kansas City Buffalo game a while back where Kansas City scored a touchdown in the overtime and Buffalo didn't get a chance to repeat, and that seemed unfair to a lot of us, including me. So now for playoffs only, both teams get a chance to touch the ball once. And once that happens, then it becomes sudden death.
Okay. Well, your thoughts about the game itself. Go ahead, Mike.
San Francisco players and coaches said they didn't know the rule. Otherwise, they may have chosen differently when they won the coin toss.
Well, what I will say about it is I knew the rule. How the coaches could not have known the rule is beyond me. It's absolutely beyond me. It's malfeasance. You wonder why that coach loses big games this is, I'm afraid, another example of how this happens. It seems to lose the big games.
What's the flaw?
Somebody admitted that the Chiefs are officially involved in a dynasty because they've won back-to-back Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to say that yet?
That's my question. That's my question, Bob and Peter and Don. What constitutes a dynasty? Only three Super Bowl wins?
I don't think there's any definition of a dynasty. I think it's all a matter of opinion.
I must say three Super Bowls in 5 years is pretty impressive.
It is, but is that a dynasty? I mean, I think a dynasty, to me now, the dynasty, as much as I hate to admit it, I think that the dominance of the Patriots represented a dynasty, a true dynasty.
What about the Cowboys when they won three Super Bowls in a row from, what, was it 92 to 94?
You know I'm a Cowboy fan, but I still didn't consider that a dynasty.
Okay.
I think it would have been if Jimmy Johnson had stayed.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I think they would have won more under Jimmy Johnson?
I think so. I really do.
Yeah, Barry Switzer was not known for his brilliance as an NFL coach. In fact, I heard, Michael, and maybe you can correct me, that a lot of people thought that they won that last Super Bowl despite Barry Switzer.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Anyway, but I'll tell you, I think how the Super Bowl was lost. It wasn't so much the San Francisco coaching. Well, Mahomes was just amazing at the end of the game. It was special teams. You know, we always seem to forget special teams, right? Kansas City blocks an extra point, and then there was the muff punt. That allowed a touchdown for Kansas City.
Right.
So I think it was special teams that cost the 49ers the game, personally.
Go ahead, Mike. I'll let you say, and then I got a couple of things about Travis Kelce.
There are three phases of the game, and all are very important. And so you make a good point that's a 8-point swing.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would pay attention. And when I say somebody, I mean the NFL, to what Travis Kelce did to Andy Reid yesterday. I mean, please, why do you go and bump your own coach like that? And it's getting a lot of attention with some of the local media that the NFL should look into this and fine Travis Kelce for what he did to Andy Reid.
I don't know if it's the NFL's providence to do that, but I hope Andy Reid says something to Travis. Well, I lost my train of thought.
We were talking about Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an NFL issue, but I do think, I hope the Chiefs coaching staff decides to do something about it.
When you say bumped him, what do you mean? What happened? I totally missed this.
He crashed into Andy Reid, and Andy Reid nearly fell and got injured. And all I'm hearing today on local media is, whatever happened to respect for the coach? Players should be doing that to their own coaches and blah, 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 blah. I didn't catch the play myself either, Don. I heard about this after the fact.
What about the coach getting out of the way?
Well, what was Kelce thinking of, though?
I don't know.
The way I heard it was he was blustering, you know, he was in the heat of the moment. They weren't doing well. And I guess he wanted him to call some different plays or get him more involved in the game, because at that time he only had one catch, and you know, I guess he just got hot under the collar and got in his face. But you're right, Bob. I think Reid should say something about it. The coaches need to sit him down and talk to him about that.
Let's put it this way, Michael: if Kelce had done that to a referee, he would have been suspended.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly.
And but I don't think Andy Reid should be exempt from Kelce being punished. I think, you know, when you do something like that to any authority figure or anybody for that matter, you got to answer to it.
I guess my only question is who should mete out the punishment? Is that an NFL responsibility or is that a coaching responsibility? And I don't know if the NFL should be regulating team discipline. Referees are different. Referees are paid by the league. And obviously, if somebody bumps into a ref, the league will suspend and should. I'm just not convinced that the league should get involved with.
I agree with you, Peter. I think that's a team matter. I think they should, hopefully they'll call him in. They may not talk about it now because we're all in celebratory mood right now, but I think they really should call him in and talk.
Of course, if they don't do it now, they better not do it, because you got to do it before they scatter to the four winds.
Well, it will probably get done behind the scenes is what, is what I hope happens. You know,
it shouldn't be done in-house. It shouldn't be anything the league does. It should be like, you know, a father and his sons when one of the sons has to be, you know, sent to the woodshed.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that the Chiefs were lucky to be in the game after the first quarter or the first.
Yeah. Game. It looked like San Francisco was going to run away with it.
That's right.
I thought nothing was at one point.
And the Chiefs found a way
if McCaffrey doesn't fumble on that first drive, I think the complexion of the game changes totally.
The only reason I might question you about that, Michael, is remember that the Chiefs running or somebody fumbled the ball, sometime after.
Sure.
Yeah, it's sort of balance. It balances out, is sort of the way I look at it. But, the Chiefs, the 49ers had so many opportunities to, to get a bigger lead and never could find a way to do it.
Well, congratulations to the Chiefs anyway, and whether we want to call it a dynasty or not, it's up to us. But either way, I think the team, they're going to keep on winning at some point. They may not win every year, the whole thing. But then they're going to be in contention for a long, long time, I think, as long as Patrick Mahomes is at the helm.
And as long as that coach is still in place. I think both are required. It's like the Patriots.
In today's world, with all the moving that's going on, that 3 years out of five does – I say qualify for a dynasty. It's sure, it's like the team in Houston who I despise almost as much as the Red Sox, although the Chiefs, aren't like that. They have character as far as I'm concerned, but they're still a dynasty. There's the term dynasty doesn't last as long because there is free agency and people can, pick up and move, which they couldn't when the Yankees were the real dynasty. So.
So Don, you really believe that the Chiefs are tailor-made to win again?
Well, now that's part of the issue. If Taylor says, dearie, your career's over, you're going to be, Mr. Swift from now on, that's going to take a bite out of the team. Whether they can continue to be a dynasty without Mr. Swift, I don't know.
It's funny you should mention that, Don, because I see a parallel between what you just said and what happened with the Bradys. Giselle Brady wanted him to retire long before he did. At least that's what I'm hearing.
And they ultimately split over it.
I was going to say that might be part of the reason why they split, because she wanted him to be a full-time father, put football behind him and just devote himself to her and the child and the children. And they ended up divorced, and maybe that was part of the reason.
Well, but two things though, Bob. One, they're not married. And two, he's a lot younger. He's still got a lot left in the tank.
Mahomes does. Kelsey, sorry. My bad. Yeah. Well, Kelsey is in his 30s, right? He's old for, he's an old guy for a tight end.
Well, he's still got a little juice left in the tank. He's not as old as his brother.
That's true.
His brother retired this year. But
Kelsey's 34 years old.
Yeah. So he's got another 2 years, I think.
Interesting question.
But the neat thing about a team like Kansas City and any team that's going to try to be a dynasty is the development of players. They had this rookie, Rashee Rice, who developed in the second half of the season. Remember, we talked about it earlier, how their receiving core was just pitiful, dropping passes and running wrong routes and whole nine yards. Well, this kid developed and turned out to be one of the key players in their second half drive.
Yeah.
So when they do that, if you can develop players and they add another piece or so, they could be a, contender. Early projections say that neither San Francisco nor Kansas City will be the best team next year.
Well, San Francisco.
Remember, we left a couple of good teams sitting at home. Baltimore is still going to be pretty good. Buffalo is going to be good.
Detroit.
Detroit is going to be up and coming. So we got a lot to look for next year.
And watch out for the Texans. They've got upside. And look at what they did this year. They surprised a lot of people.
They could.
And don't forget Dallas, Michael. I'm sure you have your hopes up for the best.
I'm not too high on Dallas.
Dallas has had a couple of years or 3 years to prove themselves already, though.
Yeah, they've got a lot of pieces to fulfill, and they've lost two of their top defensive people. You know, Quinn is gone, Joe Witt is gone, so they've got a lot to. I mean, they got Zimmer back, but you know, I'm not sure Zimmer is as good a defensive coordinator as Joe Quinn.
I think San Francisco is going to have trouble. Apparently, they have a lot of free agents. Their quarterback is getting $900,000 a year these days. That has to change. He played actually pretty well yesterday.
He played a pretty good game.
He played a pretty good game.
Yes, he did.
So before, I know we have at least one person who wants to.
All I got to say with, I can't sing. I've been having trouble with my voice, but with apologies to John Lennon, I should write down a song now. Hallelujah. Football's over to the tune of Merry Christmas. War is over. And we can start talking about the sport where
you want to do a parody, Don, you want to do a parody song?
Not now, but it should get done because hallelujah. Football's over.
Oh no, football, Don, and the season's over, but now we get into the draft.
Oh, and they'll be talking about football for the next 3 or 4 months anyway, even though the other sports are going to be.
I'm so over football, ready for baseball.
That's the one sport that sustains itself all year round more than the others.
And I've still got my women's basketball.
By the way, condolences, Don. To Connecticut.
Well, I knew that was going to happen though. Yeah. It's not like the Notre Dame loss, which was such a surprise and embarrassment. What happened yesterday, I knew was going to happen. But what I was amazed by and delighted by was several things. The Iowa losing to Nebraska, tremendous upset. You had several games yesterday. You had Iowa lose to Nebraska. Caitlin Clark still needs 8 more points to break the national scoring record. And while that didn't happen, they also didn't win the game either. They lost 82-79. Then there was Notre Dame double overtime over Florida State down in Tallahassee. That was an incredible game. Then there was another one, Syracuse. They pulled an upset over Louisville, and Syracuse was dead meat with about 8 minutes to go, but somehow they pulled a rabbit out of a hat and they won that ball game over the Louisville Cardinals. So yesterday was a real red letter day for women's basketball.
Hey, Don, I mean, there's no reason why you should know this, but do you have any idea how the Princeton women's team is doing this year? I sort of lost touch of the Ivy League.
They were as high as number 25.
Were they? Okay.
I don't know if they still are. They don't broadcast, lamentably.
Well, the Ivy League is not a very interesting league for women's basketball. Oh, I'm sure they're getting better. But Princeton's women's basketball has been pretty good the past 4 or 5 years. And, you know,
they beat NC State last year.
They did.
Yeah. Shocked the world.
Yeah. Well,
I do want to bring one more topic into this discussion before we open the floor to participants. The NBA made a lot of trades last week, and I think some of them were very significant. There's a few that I recall. I don't know if I'm going to hit on all of them, but there was a lot of movement in the NBA last week. Kelly Olynyk went from the Jazz to the Raptors. Gordon Hayward went from the Hornets to the Thunder. There were a couple of other key moves. The Celtics made a couple of minor moves. They acquired Xavier Tillman, and they acquired Springer for draft picks, and a guy named Stevens went in one of those deals. And I'm sure there are others, and if I think about them, I'll be able to shout them out, but the NBA was really on the move last week. I think people were just establishing themselves, positioning themselves.
So the question is, Bob, do you think any of those moves really change the trajectory of those teams? Who benefited?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know who's going to benefit right now, Michael, but I know a team that seems to be benefiting all by itself, right under our noses, and they're sneaking up on everybody, and they're right there, and that's the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, what they're doing. They're in second place in the Eastern Conference. They're ahead of the Knicks. They're ahead of the 76ers. They're ahead of the Bucks. And by the way, Joel Embiid's going to be out for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I think the Sixers are done this year.
Hey, they've won 31 games. I'm surprised at the record that they have. They're still 31-23 or something like that. The Knicks, after that Laker loss, they just don't seem to be the same team.
They're riddled with injuries. That's what's hurting them. Without those injuries, they'd be right there too, because they had momentum. They won 9 in a row before that Laker loss. They got injured. They're making moves too, by the way. But that's what's hurting the Knicks right now more than anything else, is injury.
Mark Hestisher said last week, I think, that the Knicks benefited the most from these trades. And I've heard more than one person say that they'd have the best chance of giving the Celtics a run for their money because of their defense and the folks who they got. And I expect the Knicks to lose for a while because they have to, not only do they have injuries, they got to integrate these new people into their team. So I'm not optimistic about the Knicks doing very much, but I'm a very cynical Knicks fan. So I don't, but we'll see. I mean, a lot of people think the Knicks did a lot of good for themselves. And if they can get their injuries back and healthy, they might be really, really good. We'll see.
And another move I just thought about, Grant Williams went from the Mavericks to the Hornets in a deal as well. So that's another move that I've heard about. Trish, I'm going to open the floor to participants. If anybody wants to comment on what we talked about, or maybe there's something you want to bring up, feel free to do so. So let us know when you see a hand raised, and we'll take that call.
Okay, we actually have some at the moment. Jane T., go ahead.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing today?
Hey,
I'm fine.
There are a couple of things that were brought up in the discussion that...
Hold on, I don't think that's Jane. Hold on.
The person speaking
is not Jane, I believe. Jane, are you there?
I am here.
There you go.
Thank you.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We all do.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jane. What can we do for you on roundtable today?
Well, I have a question, but I have to say to you, Dawn, the season's over. Now the draft's gotta come. And then in a month or two, baseball will come. So hang on. It'll get here. I look forward to that too.
I am too, Jane. I'm looking forward to baseball. I'm glad spring training is starting on Wednesday. Three very important events are happening on Wednesday. Valentine's Day and Wednesday and spring training.
Okay. And the question I have is, will you just, Peter, recite again the overtime protocol, because I got lost in that.
It is confusing. So the way to think about it is that each team gets the ball once.
Okay.
Regardless of what the other team does, each team gets the ball once.
Mm-hmm.
If the score is tied after each team touches the ball, then it becomes sudden death.
Okay. But if it isn't tied, then there's just a winner.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
That's correct.
If it isn't tied after the first possession for each team, they have a second possession.
And then a sudden death. So what the San Francisco coach was arguing foolishly is they wanted the ball for that third time, because if they scored the third time, they could win the game. The problem was that they scored a field goal. Kansas City scored a touchdown, and they knew what they needed to do to win. And so they could go for fourth down and not hurt them, if that makes any sense. You know, and that's what they did. They did a fourth and one at their own 28-yard line or something, which they ordinarily never would have done. But they knew that's what they had to do to win the game. And they got the first down and won the game. So
yes,
that's what the coach, San Francisco coach, is being, you know, trashed for good reason. I don't think he would have won the game anyway, probably. I think Mahomes was just on a roll and that he couldn't be stopped. I mean, that's sort of the way I look at it.
Yeah. I'll get out of your hair and I'll see you somewhere down the road.
Well, thank you as always for your contribution, Jane.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Jane.
Okay. Trish, who do we have next on the agenda?
Next we have Mitch. Go ahead, Mitch.
Hi, Mitch.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Couple of comments. First about baseball, Bob. Please tell the Red Sox that the fans do not want the Red Sox to trade Kenley Jansen to the Dodgers, please.
I don't know why the Red Sox would even consider trading Kenley Jansen.
Oh,
I don't understand that. I've heard that rumor for a while. I don't know if they're going to do it, but it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, he's put us through enough heartbreak a couple of 3 years back. Three comments on the Super Bowl. One, Kelce already said publicly he'd see everybody back next year in the Super Bowl. Second, a fella redeemed himself yesterday, at least briefly. Nicole Hardman had a terrible season. And that touchdown that he caught to win the game, at least I'm sure in the minds of a lot of the Chiefs fans, has redeemed himself. Whether enough so that he'll be back next year, who knows? I disagree. I forget who commented about Purdy having a good game. He had an average game. And, you know, Mahomes is the best. And in 5 or 10 years, they'll be saying he's the GOAT. And Tom Brady is the runner-up GOAT. But
he'll just be the old GOAT, man.
The old GOAT. Yeah, I like, very good. But no, Purdy had an average game, and in the Super Bowl, you need your quarterback to play better than an average game. I do want to comment on, and I have never said this before, I feel sorry for UCLA. I'm shaking my head and thinking, the reason that we have the runaway, the name, image, and likeness, and the runaway transfer portal nonsense is because of moves like the one pulled by Chip Kelly. However many young men he signed out of high school, however many young men he signed out of the transfer portal, I'm sure they feel betrayed and angry and generally ticked off at college football. And I don't know where Deshaun Foster came from in terms of his coaching experience. But in fact, I laughed earlier today. I heard that they were going to make their decision quickly. And one of the options was Pete Carroll. And that would have been sacrilege. You know, Pete Carroll to me was the best USC coach since John McKay. But they hired Deshaun Foster, and it reminds me of their hire years ago of the guy who used to be a wide receiver for the Bruins, whose name escapes me, and who was a dreadful coach for them, and I think he lasted 3 seasons. But I actually feel sorry for UCLA fans and for the UCLA football team.
So help educate us. What happened with Kelly?
Apparently, Kelly was offered the offensive coordinator job for Ohio State, and for whatever reason, unless he thinks that the Ohio State coach isn't going to be around for more than another year or two, maybe he thinks he's going to be the Ohio State football coach. Although his brand of football doesn't really jive with the Big Ten, but, you know, he jumped ship. There had been talk for the last couple of years about firing Kelly. Kelly's one loss record was not too much over 500. So he was kind of, if not on the hot seat, on the warm seat. So I guess he thought that going to Columbus was a better opportunity.
Well, I would think, I mean, you know, Ohio State is a much better program than UCLA, and he might have thought he could do better there than, you know, being on the warm seat at UCLA.
Well, yeah, he came in saying that he could build that UCLA program. That was his selling point.
Well, he made it better at least for a couple of years, but the timing stinks. You know, if I were a Bruin fan, I'd be really angry.
I agree, Mitch. I guess my comment is, you know, as we keep saying, college football is like the Wild West, and coaches can seem to do what they want to do, and now the players are following suit. It's just incredibly sad.
You know? Yeah, it is.
It's incredibly sad.
But I, like a couple of others of you, I'm ready for baseball. I don't remember if I mentioned this last week. You know, the Dodgers open up against the Padres on the 20th and 21st. And those two games are going to start at 3:00 in the morning,
Korea,
West Coast
right?
time. Yes, oh, yeah. They're in Seoul. So, I've already got it
now,
on my calendar.
Are you going to pick me up? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, Michael.
Take your afternoon nap, Mitch. That's all I can tell
well,
you.
Well, yeah, no question about that. But I'm frequently up at 3:00 in the morning anyway. So
yeah, I am too. So I mean, you know, we're West Coasters. And we're slaves to the East Coast. That's a poor choice of words. Sorry about that.
I got a buddy who works, for a bank down the street. He's a friend and he's in our Lions Club. And Ron was saying the other day that he said, well, I got to be into work, but I'm still going to be up for the baseball game at 3:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
And was that 3 Pacific or 3 Eastern?
3 Pacific. Those of you on the East Coast will,
6 a.m. our time.
Yeah, that's doable. Time. Yeah, especially if Tim Neverett is on the internet broadcast, that's doable because Tim Neverett is really cool.
Yeah, he'll likely be, because Steiner just doesn't do many road games anymore. Once in a while, San Francisco, San Diego, but it is primarily Tim Neverett. And I haven't heard that there's going to be any change there.
And Korea, my God, that's a massive trip. Even from Los Angeles, that's a massive trip. But Neverett's a whole lot younger than Charlie.
You know, what's interesting about it is the games on the 20th and the 21st. I'm thinking, man, that's early. And then I realized when the regular season starts officially, the Dodgers open up on the 28th against St. Louis. And I'm thinking the season's getting earlier and earlier.
It is, Mitch. It's getting
Mitch,
earlier.
If you recall, Mitch, I forgot what year it was. I want to say 2008 and even beyond. Some of the baseball teams have their spring trainings interrupted because they started their season in Japan. So a trip to Japan is just as excruciating as a trip to Korea. And they were playing games in Japan on the 21st or so.
I guess what's gonna happen is the Dodgers will play the second game on the 21st. They'll fly back and they'll probably have the freeway series against the Angels, maybe the 24th, 5th, and 6th.
Yes, that's a three. That's already set. Yep. And I've read exactly that scenario. And then the 28th, I don't know if they open in LA or at Busch.
No, they open here. They open in LA.
St. Louis, St. Louis in March is very dubious weather-wise.
Well, so is most of the country. You know,
that's true.
Nobody thinks about this. I mean, open up, you know, mid-April, do split doubleheaders if you don't want to do regular doubleheaders. But my God, opening in March in Denver and Minnesota. And
I got a better idea,
just
Don.
Thinking about Minnesota.
I've got a better idea, and I love baseball. Start the season May 1st, play 120 or 130 games, start the season May 1st, go to September 30th or the first day or two of October.
The union will never sit still for any of this. And
no, they won't. They won't. But that's what ought to happen, I think.
We all know that, Mitch, but it's all about the money. That's what dictates and dominates sports anyway. Money.
Garrett, Michael?
Huh?
You were saying something. I think we were.
Build a dome stadium.
Yeah, let's require dome stadiums for everybody in the northern part of the country.
Mitch, before you disappear, I know we have other callers. I heard that your beloved Lakers signed Dinwiddie. Any thoughts about that?
I just heard that this morning because apparently Matt Christie is out for a while and D'Angelo Russell, who they tried desperately to trade and nobody apparently wanted him, came out of the game the other night with some injury. So they figured they better sign another guard. So
why would Brooklyn let Dinwiddie go?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything, you know, negative, but you know, he's just a guy. So, you know, he'll get his 10 or 12 minutes a game, perhaps. But
I thought he was a decent shooter. That's what I remember about him.
Let's put it this way. When Brooklyn let Kyrie go and they had Dinwiddie back, I said, that's a good replacement. I think they'll survive with that.
Yeah, well, the Lakers ought to rename themselves the L.A. Jekyll and Hydes. You know, they are the most inconsistent team in the league, I think.
Yeah, with a banner. With a banner, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And Mitch, what is with USC not broadcasting their women's basketball? And they've got Juju Watkins, who's a generational player. She's the next Candace Parker. But yeah, there's no radio station. There's no internet outlet.
No.
Nothing has USC women's basketball. It's insane.
UCLA is in the top 10 women's basketball wise, and they've not carried the UCLA games in a couple of years either.
Really?
So women's college basketball out here is just not as big as it is in other parts of the country.
Well, if Juju Watkins transfers to Connecticut or anywhere else, USC has only themselves to blame.
She's not transferring anywhere. She's going to go to the WNBA next year.
Rich, I thought I heard your voice.
How are the Kings doing?
I was just trying to jump in and let you guys know we have two more hands waiting.
Okay, well, I think we ought to take them. Mitch, I want to thank you again.
Absolutely. Everybody take care.
You too.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right. Bye.
Take care.
Next, we have Robert Acosta.
Hi, Robert. What's up?
Greetings, guys. You're wonderful. I sure learned a lot listening to you.
Good to hear your voice, Robert. Don here.
I hope you can hear me here. Okay.
Loud and clear.
Can we hear me? Do I need a mic? Okay.
Yeah.
Real quick, don't forget the Clippers. That's number one. I'm going to hit these. Shanahan has lost 10-point games to Kansas City. He was the coordinator at Atlanta in 17. Remember 34-28, which I'll never forget. So he has a record of this. Las Vegas picks the 49ers to win the Super Bowl next year in Kansas City. Second, Detroit Lions are fifth. And that was interesting to me. And Peter, don't let me forget one more question about the overtime. There's a lot of guys that probably want to talk here, but my point is it was a great Super Bowl. They should not have gone first on overtime. I'm not going to steal that. Kurt Warner, I heard Kevin Harland, who is a fantastic announcer. The TV guys, I didn't watch. I'm hard of hearing anyway, so I'd get the radio in my ear and scream, and the neighbors think I'm crazy, and I am during Super Bowl. I don't care about UCLA. I've been to SC since 1947. That shows you how old I am. I've cried losing to Notre Dame. If you can't beat UCLA and Notre Dame, Lincoln Kelly ought to go. But the portal's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I think the players probably should have gotten paid long ago, but in some way. But the portal, the guy can get mad at a coach and suddenly he's playing, you know, with Ohio State. I don't know how Kelly fits at Ohio State. What I heard about Kelly is that he didn't want to talk to donors. He wasn't good with the press. He was pretty good recruiting, but that wasn't enough. UCLA, I don't know what they're going to do with this. Deshaun, we remember him at Tustin High School, UCLA. He was the coordinator for the Raiders, the offensive coordinator. They should have got Deion Neon or something. They at least have been exciting for UCLA. But I hope they lose every game. I'm USC all the way, and I just don't know how we're going to do with the portal. Finally, Peter, I'm going to give others a chance. I want to ask you, isn't it true that the overtime is only 15 minutes, so saith Kevin Harlan on the radio? What happens if they went and did and tied? Would they let them tie or just keep?
No, they continue playing.
I'm sorry.
Somebody has to win.
Somebody has to win.
Yeah, they continue.
They said it was 15 minutes you have, and they kept saying 11:45 on the radio. And thank God I had Kevin Harlan, who used the crowd beautifully, who you described the touch. He didn't say too loud who caught the ball. wasn't that end who I'd never heard of before that caught it from the Jets? Or did he, or was it Green Bay?
The, I don't remember.
I can't remember, but he was nothing. Mitch is right. He stepped into history and it was a fantastic Super Bowl. I won't call them a dynasty yet. I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers too. Nobody's mentioning. They were pretty good. And in their old days, Green Bay Packers weren't bad, but I'm ready to call them a dynasty. And I think Mahomes obviously is the best quarterback in the NFL. I really.
So before you go, Bob.
And I'm done. I want to give others a chance.
I know, I also want to respond to something you said too, Bob, but I'll let Peter go first.
Yeah. So before you go, Bob, say a couple of words about the Clippers because they intrigue me as well. And I know Michael's a big fan of James Harden.
James Harden is playing fabulous. He fit in the chemistry very well. Westbrook's on the bench, thank God. And he comes in as a sixth man and gunning. They're just really, they got Zoo back, their center, their big center. And of course, Paul George and Leonard. The thing is knowing how to win. The Clippers sometimes, they don't know how to win the playoffs. That's the problem with Baltimore Ravens. They threw too many times. You got to know how to win. And Jackson falls up on, in the playoffs. I don't know.
Bob, two questions.
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Okay. The Clippers recently played the Celtics. They murdered the Celtics here at home.
Yep.
What happened to Duvots? He didn't play in that game.
Yeah, he was injured, but I don't know the injury. I don't like the radio announcer for the Clippers. He's a screamer. I hear the Mitch is right, Jekyll and Hyde Raiders, but I like John Ireland and Michael Thompson. They're really good. So.
And my response to one of your earlier comments about Vegas picking the Super Bowl winner and who's going to finish second and all that next
year.
We haven't
even either CBS or CBS or somebody came with the polls out of Vegas though.
Well, here's what amazes me about that. We haven't got to free agency yet. We haven't gotten to the draft.
That's
yet.
Right.
Why are they predicting?
That's right. And Kansas City's got the, by the way, Travis Kelce's a punk. He didn't just crash into him like off the sideline. He went through this before in a game. They didn't include him in a play and he yelled at Andy Reid and Andy says, you're not the only one on this team. It's a team effort. But this time he ran into him. I wondered if anybody knows what the slap down is that Kelce does at the end of the games. He gets on the stage and acts like a jackass, but they some like it, some don't. I don't know what he does, but anyway, he's great. You know, he broke Bronx records, but he's getting older but they'll find another receiver. Lastly, if I may, I was upset with Mahomes. Why are they throwing short passes? Why is he, you know? But he just says, because I got a great defense and I'll know when to run. And he sure did. It was a great game.
Mahomes, I
was for Kansas City. I pretty played. I'm with Mitch. An average, you could lean and say good, but he made mistakes. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bob. And what I'll all say about Mahomes is when it counted in the fourth quarter and in overtime, he was fabulous. Yeah. He was amazing. Okay. He just was amazing. Thank you, Bob.
Trish?
Surely.
Janet Wright.
Hello, I'm a first time caller.
Welcome.
But anyway, I cannot understand how Mitch Holtis can do his touchdown Kansas City without having a sore throat. But I was gonna say, what about the field goal with the 55 and 57 yard touchdown or field goals yesterday?
Longest in Super Bowl history.
I love Kevin, what's his name from West?
Kevin Harlan. But that guy Mitch is crazy, like you say, but you know, he's crazy good that.
He is.
If I could listen to him, which I can only do on YouTube, I could actually almost enjoy football, which I haven't really said since Marty Glickman retired from the Jets.
Yeah, I like listening to him too. And, I like listening to, Denny Matthews, but Denny Matthews is getting a lot older in baseball. So.
Boy, is he ever.
When he's going to retire.
Yeah, you never do retire a legend. We have John Sterling here in New York who should have been pastured 20 years ago.
Yeah, he should.
And the same can be said of Denny. Maybe not 20, maybe less for Denny, but he and Fred White were quite a team back in the Paleolithic times.
Yep. So. And Denny Matthews has actually written some books. Didn't know.
Has he really?
Yep.
About his broadcasting life?
Possibly. I don't remember what he wrote. I think he did, maybe.
Hello?
That'd be worth reading.
Good.
So where was George?
So doing like a car clean, so if you have any cars.
Oh my God.
I have no cars.
I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. I know you're doing your best. I appreciate it. Well, I was going to say something. Oh, the field goal kickers.
Nope.
That really was remarkable. I talked about the special teams, and how that's so important. You know, and San Francisco kicks this long field goal, and then Kansas City kicks a longer field goal. You know, just remarkable. I thought both teams were nuts to try those field goals, because as we all know, if you miss them, the other team gets the ball back in good field position. But they both made them. And, you know, it's sort of hard to argue with success. So.
And we've watched the game evolve from a time when a 40-yard field goal was considered a long boot. But 40 is normal nowadays.
Yeah. Now it's 57. That's a long boot, or 60. It really, really was.
Gotten stronger.
Thank you, Janet.
Might have to check the kicker to see if they're taking enhancements.
Only in Houston.
Oh no, that's all over the place.
I know. I'm being playful. You're right. It's everywhere. You know, the kickers are amazing. They've obviously gotten a whole lot better. I mean, you're right, because Don, 40 yards back when I began to watch football was a lot, and now we're dealing with, you know, 50 is normal. You know, when you get to beyond 50, you know, it's whatever. Although Buffalo did miss a. Was it a 40-yarder, you know, wide right that gave the Chiefs the win? So you still miss, but it's much less. Even college football kickers are better. The Missouri field goal kicker this year was really, really good. He could make 50 yards, which in college is a lot. So the whole kicking thing has changed. So
now I know the record was 63 forever. Has that ever been broken? Tom Dempsey had the record, 63 yards.
I think that record has been broken.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Where's Luther King when we need him?
I know, exactly.
If anybody would know that, it'd be him.
Well, Alexa would know too. We could ask the A-lady. She'll know that.
I think that record has been broken.
So, yeah, thank you so much for that comment. I'm a big fan of Kev. And actually, the Kansas City play-by-play guys that I can't remember the name of is, you know, is a bit carried away with himself, but he's very, very good too.
And Mitch Holtis, the football guy.
That's right. Yeah.
He's wild,
but he's good.
Audio now.
I just wish you'd not get quite so, you know, dramatic at the end.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Now we can.
Okay. Trish, do we have anybody in waiting?
There's no one in waiting at this time.
All right. No problem. Let us know. You can interrupt us when that happens.
Okay, I will.
But Bob Peter from our position upstairs where my broadcast partner and I work, it is very difficult. And the more dramatic the situation is, the more difficult it is to keep charge of what you're doing. It takes tremendous, tremendous talent and, you know, it's, frankly, it's just easier to do what Mitch does. I mean, under certain circumstances now, my broadcast partner unleashed like that when our guy hit a walk-off grand slam home run. You know, my old partner didn't do it routinely. You know, Mitch may do it more routinely the way Tom Hamilton does in Cleveland, where almost everything is Armageddon on his broadcast, and that can be exhausting to listen to. But darker, I like the guy.
Yeah, I guess my complaint with Mitch is, it's not so much his regular play by play. It's that the end of the game when he goes on and on and on about, you know, the Chiefs are so disrespected. It's just too much for my New England upbringing, you know, but he is very, very good. My complaints are at the end of big games where he just gets a bit too carried away, but you know, that's me. He deserves all the credit he's getting.
Well, everybody can't be Ken Coleman.
That's true. That is absolutely.
And then again, there's people who think Ken Coleman is Ambien incarnate.
Well, that's also true.
Everybody doesn't think that.
Well, but there's a balance somewhere. I just think that he just gets, you know, to my ears, a bit too excited. I mean, John Sterling, as you said, you know, when he was great, he would get excited and it worked for him to my ears.
Now, he was great 20 years ago. Now yeah, everything exactly. is so contrived.
Yeah.
Now, I never cared for Joe Castiglione. I always thought he was a shrieker and he still is, but.
He takes time off now, Don. He don't even go to a lot of the road trips.
I can't blame him.
Yeah. Well, the Red Sox this year. I wonder if it would be worse, the Red Sox or the Yankees this year, actually.
If you got the troops to replace you, why should you go to Kansas City or Milwaukee or Minnesota, you know, if you got the troops? And the Yankees finally have a couple of guys to fill in for John and occasionally, very occasionally, fill in for Susan because she won't broadcast. She's like the Sandy Koufax of broadcasters. She won't broadcast on the high holy days. And so they have the troops to back her up. And Boston apparently has somebody now for Joe.
By the way, Don, Joe will be 77 on March 2nd.
How do you like that? I thought he was even older than that.
No, he was born in 47.
He's something else again. But, you know, if and he has his legion, no doubt about it. I'm not even saying a word against his legions, but, you know, I'm just not going to be one of them.
Good for Susan Waldman for taking those holidays. Good for the Yankees for supporting her. I think
that's exactly. Good. They have done that right since she was with John. They've always found someone to back her up on those days. It used to be a guy named Sweeney Murdy. I don't know what happened to him. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he used to be a WFAN in New York. I forgot. I don't know what happened to him, but I heard his voice somewhere recently. I can't remember where. I remember thinking about him. Anyway. So now, you know, football is officially over, and which I know for you, Don, is good news, and baseball will begin to pick up steam, except that now football, the draft begins, the endless conversation about who's going to be drafted when. And I was sort of interested, I keep saying this every year when we talk about the draft, about how poorly general managers do in picking people. You know, it's a crapshoot. It's really hard to guess who's going to be good and who isn't. You know,
well, if you want to, you can dodge the draft, and I do that routinely every year.
Oh, I tend to do. Yeah, I tend to do that too. But I do find it interesting, you know, that you know, Purdy, for example, was the last pick of the last round of the draft a few years ago, and you know, is a solid quarterback. He's not great. But he's, Bob said, is pretty good. You know, he's for
we have 1 minute.
For the 49ers. And one thing about, I don't know what Vegas is thinking about the 49ers, because everything I'm hearing, they got free agents, they got all kinds of trouble, they gotta figure out their whole, they're gonna have to pay more money to certain people and not other people. I wish them well, but I think they're gonna take a step back next year. That's my thought about that. And then, of course, the question is, what will the Jets do with Rodgers next year? I can hardly wait, and I'm being sarcastic.
I think he'll be back for one more year.
Oh, well, I think he'll
be back. I just have a feeling.
Four more plays?
I don't think the Jets are going to be, I don't think he's going to get the Jets to where they want to go. That's my prediction.
That's still a more tough division. But remember, guys, football is never over. You got the United Football League, and you got the Canadian Football League, so.
That's true, Mike.
Do you follow the Canadian Football League, Mike? Because I've occasionally will listen to a game in August.
Occasionally I will. If I can catch them, I try to follow them. But we've got a team here in Houston for the United Football League, so I'll pay attention to them a little bit.
All right.
Well, looks like we're going to be wrapping up momentarily. And when we see you next week, spring training would have already begun, and hopefully Kenley Jansen will remain a Red Sox, not only for Mitch's benefit, but for mine. And gentlemen, thank you so much. Trish, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Sports Roundtable today. Luther, we miss you. That's 2 weeks in a row we haven't heard from you. I hope you're okay. I do hear from you on the emails, so it sounds like you're doing well, but hopefully you'll be back next week. Peter, Don, Mike, thanks a lot. Participants, thanks a lot. Brad, Trish, go safe with God, everybody, and See you later, and hopefully we'll survive our snow here in the Northeast. Bye
for now. Good luck.